Independent documentary director and producer Peter Lom was born in Czechoslovakia but spent most of his life abroad, in Canada and the US. His latest film, Back to the Square, was selected as the opening film at this year's edition of the One World International Film Festival, where he is also on the jury. Before becoming a filmmaker, Peter Lom was actually an academic, until one day he quit his job and never looked back. I asked him about his films, which focus, among other countries, on Iran and Egypt, his connection to the One World Festival, and about his big career change.
It's just personal projection because it took me a long time to get the courage to make the switch myself. So when I was 35, I was a university professor and then decided to be a filmmaker. And it took a lot of internal courage to quit my job and just to go for it. So I try to encourage people who might be going through the same thing.
And right now your focus are documentaries. You're a documentary filmmaker, and I've noticed a lot of your films also deal with the Middle East. Is there a reason for that?
It started out really as serendipity circumstances. I was working as an academic in Budapest and for George Soros's university, and I had a chance to travel to all Central Asia. So my attention then would focus on Central Asia, and from there gravitated to China, and then my work in Iran was for personal reasons. I have many Iranian friends, and then from that it was just a step to Egypt, so it's kind of just that's the way life's evolved.
And you have a PhD in political philosophy. Does that help you at all in approaching your subjects or dealing with the topics you deal with?
Maybe it prevents me from being stupid. No, I think I was studying and working on basically philosophical foundations under human rights issues. So now I'm working on the practical issues of human rights. So there's a continuation, sure.
And do you ever miss academics, or are you glad you left when you did?
No, of course, there's you always miss things when you leave things, because everything has its pluses and minuses. I miss teaching a lot, and of course, having all the free time to study intensely things. So sure, I missed that. But on the other hand, it's lovely to do the job I do now, is to be more practical and creative things, to be more engaged with the world.
And let's talk a bit about your personal history. I believe you're Czech, but you spent large amounts of your life in Canada and the U.S. What is your family story?
I was born in 1968 in May during the Prague Spring, and after the Russians invaded, we immigrated to England. So my life has been, like most people in the Czech Republic of that generation, fundamentally marked by injustice. So not so much in my life, but in certainly my parents' life. You know, immigration is difficult for everybody. So I think that's at least one reason why I focus on issues of injustice in general in my films, I think, yeah.
And your latest film, Back to the Square, deals with the upheavals and the situation in Egypt in general. What led you to this specific topic?
Yeah, I'd finished a film about the Iranian regime of Ahmadinejad in 2009, and then I had a conversation with a producer about future subjects, and he recommended that I start following what Dr. Mohammed al-Baradei, who was the UN Nuclear Inspection Agency chief in the Iraq War and who won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work in resisting the U.S. invasion, what he was saying about reform in Egypt already in 2010, predicting that the Mubarak's regime would fall and that political reform was necessary. So I was able to get access to him, and then when the revolution broke out, I followed him to Egypt, and then the focus of the film just shifted towards ordinary people as the film progressed. But that was the initial reason to go to Egypt.
That's fascinating that you knew about it so early on, or were ahead of the curve there. Last night this film was also shown at the opening. Did you have a chance to talk to the audience and maybe get some reactions, and how was that?
Yeah, it was wonderful. This One World is one of my favorite festivals in the world. I've been here four times now, and what's special about it is that I think it's just because it's the People in Need organization runs it, and because it's such an important organization here that there's always really big crowds, and particularly lots of young people who are very interested, engaged, and very outward-looking. So there's always a tremendous energy and enthusiasm in the audiences here, and that's very special. And the Q&As are always very long and very intense, where people are really interested in what's happening and really want to know. So that makes it, as a filmmaker, always a real pleasure to come here.
And let's talk a bit just about the logistics of filming Back to the Square. Certainly going into Egypt as an outsider, it must have been very hard to find your five protagonists who are so outspoken and so great. How did you go about that?
It just takes a lot of time. Initially, it took about 4 or 5 months to try to figure out what the focus of the film was, that we should focus on basic human rights abuse and lack of respect for human rights, and just the basic fact that people are living in fear of state-sponsored cruelty. But that took a long time to kind of focus on. Initially, there were lots of different stories, ones about political change, political candidates also following young Muslim brother, questions of religion. But then I just decided, no, I'm going to focus on these stories. And they just accumulated over time as the revolution, aftermath of the revolution progressed, and basically horrible things would continue to be happening and happening. And so the stories just accumulated. So, but how did I find the people? Usually, like anyway, when you're a documentary filmmaker, you're just kind of looking all the time for stories, and some are in the media, like the story of Salwa, the young woman who had been subjected to a virginity test, or the story of the young boy that we found on from this Day of the Camel, when these people went into the square to try to disrupt the revolution. So some of these stories were better known, at least initially reported quickly in the media, but not really followed, so you would really get to know the characters and their stories.
And are you at all concerned about the fate of your protagonists? Could appearing in the film be dangerous to them?
We generally believe that actually appearing in a film is, this kind of film is, protect a person, because then their story becomes well known, and so it becomes, in a way, the publicity protects them. But the other fact is that we told them all what we're doing, and we'd like to respect their courage in wanting to speak out. But there are some things that you do change. For example, the couple that you meet outside the police station who've been wrongfully arrested, you know, the story becomes actually more interesting, because this is the same person who abused the husband in the prison is the police inspector who you meet in the previous scene, and their character names the police inspector later, but we, you know, edit that out because that's not a good idea to really make that link in the film.
And how do you view the situation in Egypt right now?
Very difficult. There's a lot of disillusionment a year after the revolution, that things really haven't changed, that the liberal democracy they've been hoping for hasn't really happened, or that there's no transparency, corruption continues, and the police and military brutality continues, and then that the army still seems to be holding on to power. So it's very difficult. But on the other hand, the country is, you know, the majority of the country is aged under 30, full of young people, and their energy and revolutionary demands still, that's really not going to go away.
And your previous film, as you already mentioned, was dealing with Iran, it was dealing with Iranian president, and was titled Letters to the President. It was a bit controversial, and you were, some people said you weren't critical enough. There's two points I want to ask you about. One, how do you feel about that? And two, was it because it wasn't so controversial that you maybe got access where other foreign filmmakers did not get access?
The Iranian film, the controversy was kind of an artificial one, whipped up initially by some Iranian expats living in Berlin before the premiere of the film, who hadn't seen the film, and they were really looking for an excuse to get angry. Ahmadinejad is such a hot-button subject in general that, as is Iran, particularly in the U.S., where there's, in the U.S., it's, you know, basically enemy number one of the United States now. So if you challenge this caricature of Iran being as the evil empire, then people will naturally get upset, because they have, unfortunately, often a vested interest in keeping this enemy, this illusion of this enemy intact in their minds. But the way I usually work is to try to make complex films which aren't dogmatic. And so the way the film, this Iranian film, the narrative arc worked was by initially showing you the propaganda machine and just letting you into it. So you this film begins and you think I'm presenting Ahmadinejad the way he wants you to understand him, is that he's wonderful and a real populist who is loved by his people. But as the film progressed, that image is undermined as further and further, so you understand the lying and the hypocrisy of the regime. So you'd have to basically watch the whole film to understand the picture.
And again, may I ask you, have you been keeping a close eye on the latest developments in Iran because of your connection to the country? And what is your take on the big question whether the situation will escalate further or not?
I feel that the film I made in 2009 is still as timely as ever. I made the film then. One of the reasons was because there was a lot of back then talk about bombing Iran during the U.S. elections. And that hasn't changed, actually. There's the same message now, and it seems actually even more worrisome. So one of the reasons why I made the film was to show you that who you'd be bombing, that ordinary Iranians are people too. Even though it's such a primitive thing to even have to say. But it's similar to what I said to earlier. It's so easy to hate an enemy that has no face, or whose stories you don't understand, or are able to sympathize or understand their common humanity. So It's a real worry. On the other hand, and the regime of Ahmadinejad is clearly much worse than it appeared to be when I was making the film in 2008. It's a regime now that's clearly an emperor with no clothes that is really governing just through brutality. Right. So I'm extremely concerned what's happening within Iran. Yeah, and certainly worry that it's going to escalate into some kind of armed conflict before the U.S. election by September, October. So yeah, it's a big worry. Yeah.
And now to make quite a thematic leap, but still, what are you looking forward to during the UN World Festival, and what are your plans for after the festival?
Well, I'm honored to be on the jury this year, so we're watching films all week. So I think we're watching 15 or 16 films, so it's a quite intense week. But it's quite special to be able to do that, especially when you finish the film now, is that you clear your head and watch other people's work and try to get inspired for new ideas and new projects. So, but I'm working on another film now on Egypt still with my partner, who was in Egypt together with me all year. So we're now editing together her film, which is about five young Egyptian women who are artists. So we're following how a young woman's identity is being transformed as a result of the revolution. So it's a much more intimate feminine film, really. So we hope we can come back with it to One World next year.